Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tee Clinic. Men's Tee Clinic is the team I trust with my total wellness optimization, and so should you. Five DFW locations with North Frisco, El Dorado Parkway at Dallas North Tollway now open. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEE or visit menstcclinic.com.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan on a shout-out Friday from the 214. Shout-out to my wife, Nancy, for being 3 months into her diagnosis with, I think it's Guillain-Barré syndrome. You remember that's
Guillain-Barré?
What Travis Frederick had.
And Mark Schlereth.
And said, now I understand why he retired. So shout out to you and that battle, Nancy, for sure.
Quick shout out to Mavs fans kind of blasting Stephen A. Smith today. Him and Brian Windhorst had kind of a debate that this young kid, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, is better than the old vet, Luka Doncic, and this kid could be better than that old guy, Luka Doncic, and they're pointing out, you know, that kid you're talking about is 8 months older than Luka Doncic.
Whoops. And then 682, shout out to my brother. He's going through, oh man, a separation divorce after 16 years of marriage and five kids. Keep your head up, Kyle.
Ooh.
Best of luck to you. Absolutely, man.
That sounds like you got a great friend on your side. So
absolutely.
Reach out to that dude as much as you can.
And that's his brother. Yeah,
yeah,
absolutely. All right, now it's time for the C Block starring Corey Majors.
Thank you very much, Kevin. I'm going to require a lot from Mike in this just a moment. Because, Mike, I did ask for a vote from the Twitter or X, if you will. By the way, X.
I haven't changed it yet, but I'm starting to. My brain's starting to want to say X.
Yeah, I've decided I'm just going to keep saying Twitter, but Elon Musk said he is going to do X mail. So will you take X mail over Gmail? We'll see.
No, because it just feels like a bunch of dongs popping up in your inbox, right?
Really? Are you saying that because there are a lot of bots on Twitter right
now?
Yeah,
and because you call it X-Mail. That feels
that's
not
true.
Cool.
I mean, I was AOL forever. In fact, I'm having a major issue since I've gone back to Apple because my Apple-connected email is my AOL, and I can't figure out how to get it to Gmail.
So that they can say, you've got mail.
I guess. Love that.
Okay.
And yes, go ahead and text in the meal you made, your parents made that you don't make enough for your family or whatever. But Mike, we're discussing this morning the approach, and with Wyatt Langford, this is where my focus really comes in, because Wyatt Langford, I have no clue how he goes up to the plate and does anything. And neither does Tim Hyers, who is the hitting coach of the Texas Rangers, who obviously did a phenomenal job because they won the damn World Series. I don't know if he looked at Evan Carter and was like, Evan, I need you to do this. Or if he goes, Evan, go up there and let's watch how you do things. And then Evan Carter's like, hey, I keep the strike zone really small, and here's how it works. And I wonder if Tim Hyers looking at it as working with Wyatt Langford, and he's like, hey, on your approach, I'm just going to, like I always say about Mike Maddox, I'm just going to let him go out there, and until he screws it up, I'm not really going to mess with him that much. But you broke down hitting to me in a way that blew my mind. And obviously, it's higher level because you're thinking of it as from a pitcher's perspective too. But it started with, when I get up to the plate, my strike zone is the size of a fist, basically.
From a hitter's perspective.
Yeah, from a hitter's perspective, my strike zone is small. And for every ball, the strike zone gets smaller. For every strike, I start to expand it a little bit out, up and down. And I just wanted, if you wouldn't mind kind of helping explain that a little bit more, because the way that I see when I watch Evan Carter hit now,
right,
I'm watching his strike zone expand as the count goes on, but he still forces pitchers to pitch to where he wants, yeah, because of how patient he is.
Specifically, I'd say Evan Carter keeps his zone small. He seems to not have a problem. And Kevin, you did point this out. I don't know if he's going to change this or not through time. He seems to not mind taking strike three, too, because he's like, I wasn't probably looking for that pitch, or I wasn't going to hit it hard. I'll just walk back to the, you know, dugout, because he threw a good pitch and I still wasn't going to swing at that, which then means he rarely chases. You know, because you feel like as a pitcher, I'll just take pitcher's perspective now, is that if I can get ahead in the count, that's why that first pitch is so important to throw strike one, because now, like Jamie Moyer was talking about, maybe I can expand a little off the plate because I just hit, let's say, the last third of the outside corner. Well, now that hitter in his mind is going, okay, is he going to repeat that? Maybe I should look for that. And then the pitcher, in the mind game of expansion and contraction of your zones and what you're looking for, you're going to try to expand and see if he'll expand even more with you. I was having a good time sitting with my father yesterday, and he was talking about Fergie Jenkins, how when you're great, also the umpire might give you a little bit of leeway. Yeah. So I throw the ball in the corner. Now I throw the ball 2 inches off, and I'm Ferguson Jenkins, or I'm Greg Maddux, and they're like, strike two, you know? And it just, well, sometimes it matters who you are on how the umpire calls balls and strikes. But with Wyatt Lankford, now back to the original point, is I think as a hitting coach, and then I think you've pointed this out with Mike Maddux, is you kind of let the guy do what they do.
Yeah.
And then from there, you work on the success or the failure from there. If there's a lot of success, you're just like, I just watch him hit. I don't know. He just, every time he goes up there, he's hitting the ball hard. He's hitting home runs. You know, there's not really much to do here except just make sure he gets in his work and feels confident and comfortable at the plate. And I'm giving him the scouting report. This is what this pitcher likes to do. But if there's failure, I'm just going to use now Ezekiel Duran, as the season went along last year and he started,
expanded his zone from the from the get, he would swing at things that he shouldn't have been.
So now you start having to try to change an approach at the plate. What are you looking, you know, that you start asking him more questions. Hey, Ezekiel, or Wyatt after a while, what are you looking for on the first pitch? Are you just looking for fastballs? Are you looking for zones? You know, some guys are different. They're just looking for, I want a fastball in this area. And some guys, I don't mind if it's a fastball or a breaking ball. I just want it in this area.
Yeah.
I think that hitting coach probably has a decent idea of what his answer will be when you ask that
probably
question.
Probably so, yeah.
Because he's watching his film and breaking him down because he wants, he's like, because in his mind, he's not going to tell him. I think this is, as a coach, I try to do this even with kids. I don't want to tell him what the answer is before I want to know what he thinks the answer is. Right. And he might get it right. I'm like, good, we're on the same page. But if we're on a different page, I'm like, ooh, okay. Then I might say, as an adult to an adult, oh, I see it different. When I'm watching you, this is what it looks like to me. But your mind, your thought process isn't what I'm seeing you do.
Yeah. And that was when you explained that a little bit, and you used Piazza as a really good example back then during the run to the World Series. And I started, that's where I kind of came up with the other part of this question is, does Tim Hyers just have an overall philosophy and everybody kind of falls into that? Well, then you take individual players and obviously they're different. Adolis, he was going way out of the zone on a lot of times.
Especially after he got hit by that pitch.
Yeah. And then all of a sudden, you know, he finds the right pitch and sends it. You know, Corey Seager goes up to the plate and Corey Seager is like, I'm going to hit the first two pitches. And if I don't hit the first two pitches, well, I mean, I'm probably going to hit the third one too. But he's swinging. Like that dude's approach is, they're trying to get ahead of me. They're trying to throw strikes to me. I'm going to hit strikes even if it's an off-speed pitch because I have hands that are fast and I know I have power. So he knows he can do that.
To your point, the total opposite when we were kids, Julio Franco never swung at the first pitch. I think you could just, I think you could underhand it and put it on a tee.
Yeah, I think about that all the time whenever, whatever your scouting report is. And I was like, I don't know, I've seen this person hit like 700 times. They don't swing at the first pitch. So you can do whatever you want, throw it right down Main Street. They ain't swinging.
Until that son of a gun, Julio Franco, with a runner on second and two outs.
No!
You throw a fastball four seamer right down the middle, and he hits a double in the gap, and you're like, I'm a dumbass.
Yeah, and that's
where that like that 5 to 10%. So you knew like with Julio, even though he's like 49 years old when I faced him, and I think he got a hit off of me. I think is. You knew the scouting report was he's going to take the first pitch almost every time nobody is on base or the runner is on first base. But if there's a runner in scoring position, there's a small percentage chance, like 10%, that he'll swing at the first pitch. And it would be like if you threw it down the middle, he's going to swing because there's an RBI opportunity. And so he'll be a little bit more aggressive, but still very patient. And those guys like Julio Franco, maybe Evan Carter, they could care less if they get to two strikes. They still feel confident and comfortable even in a count where they're not in a favorable count.
A Beltre, for sure. And that's where it came to as I was watching the playoff run, thanks to what I learned from Mike, I was watching it differently. And I was happier knowing that I was watching and trying to understand pitch sequencing from the pitcher's perspective, but also why did he not swing at that? Why did he swing at that? He was expecting certain things. So that made it a lot of fun. So this year, if you're Tolo out there and you just kind of look at it, the batter's perspective, the Evan Carters, the Jonah Himes, not all of them do it exactly the same. Some of them take a risk here and there, but the Evan Carter patience starts with he's giving you a very small space to give him a strike to start the count. Mm-hmm. And then from there, he'll either expand it or even make it tighter for you. And now as a pitcher, you're struggling trying to get this kid out and you're trying to learn more about him and he's not giving you much. So
to your point, just watching, kids don't have an approach. They just swing at strikes, don't swing at balls.
Like, exactly.
And it gets more defined the higher level up you get. But I watch lefties pitch in high school, and I didn't realize what an advantage I have until I'm a dad watching in the stands. Right-handed hitters against left-handed pitchers in high school, they try to pull everything. They're not used to a left-hander, and they don't realize, even though the ball is away from them and it looks like it's coming in, as long as you stay behind the ball as a pitcher, the ball will then move back to my left side away to a right-hander. It's almost impossible to pull that pitch. But every hitter, you see them yank that shoulder, front shoulder out, and then try to pull that pitch. And it's like, you can't do it. You gotta think. And this is a basic approach for a high school kid. If you're facing a left-handed pitcher, you gotta think, I'm hitting the ball like a hard line drive at the second baseman. If you think that, you have a chance to hit his two-seam fastball or his fastball away. If you think he's going to eventually throw a ball inside and I'm going to pull it, the problem is if he throws fastballs and changeups and curveballs on the outer half of the plate or just a curveball down the middle, you're never going to hit the ball. You will strike out every time, but it's just really tough until you get a lot of at-bats against a left-hander to realize, dang, the ball's usually not going to move into me. It's usually going to look like that and then be away. It's going to start moving away from me in the end. And against a right-hander, Corey, because you played high school baseball, it looks like it's moving away from you, but the ball then starts fading back into your bat instead of away from your bat, unless it's a slider.
And I was around Christmas time at Adrian's company Christmas party. There's a guy who runs a youth baseball instructional academy out there, a school out there near Arlington, about a mile from the stadium.
Amansky?
I'm going to have to go
Tom?
Back.
Tom Amansky?
I don't know. I'll have to give
Throwing
you the
trash can.
She's going to like it too.
He and I were hanging out and talking, and that's all he could talk about was how the way that the Rangers approached during the plate, the way that they approached their at-bats, and how those are the things he's trying to teach his kids, and it takes time to grow to learn that level. But he also said as he listens, he loves the show, and he was like, Mike gives a great knowledge every single day when he starts talking baseball.
To a hitting coach, they're going to have almost all are going to have the same basic approach, even in the major leagues, right? But then those guys, if you have good hitting coaches, they're really good at going, hey, Evan Carter, this is what you're really good at. This is what you struggle at. We'll work on our weakness, but let's not work on our weakness so much that we're trying to make that our strength. Yeah. Your strength is this. Our weakness is this. Mike Piazza's weakness was fastballs inside. And he just said, if you throw the ball on the inner part of the plate, like, and you're hitting that corner, three times in a row inside. I'm just going to walk back to the dugout and be like, you struck me out. You can strike me out every time. But his bet is you're going to miss inside for a ball, or that ball that you want inside is going to miss more to the middle of the plate. So I'm giving you that to make sure when you throw the ball on the outer half of the plate, I'm on you. But if you can, and he didn't care. He's like, I don't care if everybody knows it. Everybody does. I'm not stupid enough to think nobody has a scouting report on me. I know what the scouting report is on me.
I just got
to
be consistent.
I just got to make sure that when you miss, I'm taking it anyways. When you miss, it's inside. 1-0, advantage me.
Yeah.
When you miss in the middle, I'm crushing. But if you can hit that kind of a third or a fourth of the plate on that inner half, Mike Piazza's like, I'm going to lose.
Yeah.
But I'm betting in this at bat, you're going to miss middle or you're going to try to go away, and that's where I want the ball.
Kevin, last night I made chili dogs. Now, growing up, every 2 weeks or so we would have chili dogs and then obviously make a Frito pie at the end, so that's a different story. But last night I asked Lucy, I said, hey, Lucy, do you want chili dogs for dinner? Adrian does not like chili dogs. She was gone. She was doing some work last night, so I was like, I got dinner for the kids. Lucy was like, yes. I said, Lucy, have you ever had chili dogs? She said, no, what is it? And I was like, she already said yes, she wanted it. But then she also said, no, I don't know what it is, but what is it? And I told her, and she goes, that sounds fun. I said, okay. I told Carter, I said, I'm making chili dogs tonight. And he said, yes. And I was like, awesome. And I told Avery, and he said, can you make me a salad? He ended up having to work. So he never even ate at home. He ended up going to work at his business. Everybody loved the chili dogs. I got Wolf brand chili to put on top. I got some shredded cheese to go on there. Chopped up some onions.
Do your kids like raw onion?
They do not. They did not eat those, but I was perfectly fine with it. Got some jalapenos to go with it and some dill pickle relish. I know that's the way that I rock it. And the kids loved it. And I was like, man, I need to add this back into the rotation because we used to do this all the time. It was one of the great things that I loved as a kid. I just don't do it anymore because obviously there's lots of reasons. Like this morning when I woke up.
Did you buy Fritos with it?
I did buy Fritos. We did Frito pie afterwards.
I want you to be my dad.
That's the way that I grew up. That's what we grew up on.
That's a great meal.
Yeah, it was awesome.
A chili dog.
Yeah, and some Fritos.
With all the fixins and Fritos on the side, you give me a Big Red and we got a meal.
Yeah, man. And it went awesome. So I think I'm going to add that again this morning. I paid a little bit for the chili dogs.
Like, I don't think I didn't do this as a kid, but now if I have a chili dog, I'm putting pickled jalapenos on there too. Did you have any pickled jalapenos?
I had pickled jalapenos last night.
Hey.
This guy.
That's my core dog.
There are a lot of people who answered, by the way, ground beef with potatoes, tuna casserole, fried spam and taters, tuna fish sandwiches with Ruffles. I definitely remember. Go ahead.
I haven't had tuna helper in forever, but I liked that as a kid. I can't remember the last time because my wife is like, there's no way I'm eating hot tuna fish and macaroni and cheese. But I'm like, it's really good.
Somebody said on Twitter, Wiley potato. Colby said mom's stewed potatoes with fried salt pork on the side. And then there were definitely chili dogs with sauerkraut. Some people said cheese linguine, sloppy joes. I had sloppy joes as a kid. Like I said, every 2 weeks we had that in the rotation, and I miss sloppy joes.
They're easy to make.
Yes.
And they taste good too.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody said hot dog and baked beans. Mine was cut up bits of hot dog in ramen. My grandmother made that. I'm sure it cost, 14 cents to make. Thought it was freaking amazing. We're the KNC masterpiece right here.
It's called Beanie Weenies, the ones you get in the with the beans.
Yes, that is correct.
Those are good.
Coming up next, your second helping of Forgiveness Friday and also Masterpiece of the Week. Woo! It is a jam-packed segment. It's coming at you next. Congratulations right here on The Fan.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply. It's better
over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/AcrossAmerica.
Up to four lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device credit service ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medela is your reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
KNC Masterpiece back here on 105 Through the Fan. Very important programming note for everyone listening right now, especially if you have children in the car.
In Arizona next week.
Mike trying to break down a joke we told about fish and fish products has created a lot of hilarity in this room. So I don't know what's going to happen.
Fish
in,
sticks.
In this segment. Yes.
Fish
Do you
sticks.
Like fish sticks?
Do you like fish sticks?
I do. I'm making
I'm not gonna
fish tacos
this joke.
Tonight.
Is all right.
I'm trying to do the Catholic thing, even
That's
though
right.
I'd say I'm not
no
Catholic
today.
Anymore, as I'm not meeting it.
A little bit more Forgiveness Friday, because we got caught up with some really interesting stuff from earlier. Do you want the super serious and not fun, the kind of ridiculous, kind of serious?
We have 2 minutes till we get to ridiculous and fun, so if you want to get serious Ooh. For one more minute today, you can.
All right, let's go with Matt Barnes. Matt Barnes out as the San Francisco Kings analyst because he had decided to start some S with an announcer at a high school basketball game. So this has made the rounds, and this is why he was briefly taken off the Sacramento Kings broadcast. And then Matt Barnes tweeted out to somebody, quote, "Shut your ass up.
What?
I was talking to the ref, not you or that kid that decided to go say some slick S. Don't let that privileged S go to your head. I don't give an F who your son is." To which the response was, "Caught in 4K, buddy," at which there are numerous videos of him going up there and putting his arm on the shoulder, putting his hand on the shoulder of this kid and just browbeating him down.
Was it Derek Fisher's
about,
kid?
I don't think
those pop back
so.
Up. But he there, told the whole story.
There are multiple angles of this as well because somebody at the table decided to go ahead and take a video while it was happening and he's like right in his face and so, whoops. He can ask for forgiveness, but he got canned on the list.
I didn't know he was the Sacramento Kings analyst.
One of their broadcasters.
Okay.
Yeah.
I used to hate him.
Well, I did too.
And I think since all the Smoke podcast has come out, I enjoy a little bit. I'm a little more lenient than I used to be on him because he was a Mav killer, dude. He would get under Mavs players' skin and all sorts of stuff.
Wasn't he on the Golden State team that upset us?
Yes, he was. Yeah. Yes, he was.
And then does Major League Baseball need forgiveness for their new uniforms designed by Nike and produced by Fanatics?
They look horrible. I don't say they look horrible, but they look a lot cheaper than what they used to make.
And they're also see-through. And that's going to be problematic, is multiple people have posted pictures from these media days and everything like that. Or if you see a player like try to bend down and get a ball and you're like, man, that outline is really prominent and man, your pants are see-through and they got all kinds of problems with this. And plus people think they look cheap.
They do look cheaper. I won't say cheap, but I would say this, man, it's almost like you better get a 2023 jersey because they just look more professional. These look more, I hate saying this because I want to like them, but they look more like you went to like a local store and just said, hey, make the knockoff one for $20.
My kid's t-ball team.
Yeah, yes! Like, and you're just like, why'd you guys do this? Like, it can't. I understand they're probably making them cheaper to lower the cost, but dude, those jerseys probably only cost $25 to make at most, and you sell them at the team shop for $189. Like, you're making a good profit. Did you need to now make them for $12?
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't know why they went to such a cheaper product. Back when I played, they were a certain material that they were fine. I had no problem with them. It wasn't like I was wearing wool or anything like that.
Yeah,
when
you go back to the all wool.
But then they made them even thinner and better. That was in 2008. I know the year is when they started making a really that thinner, cool base material. Yeah. That was Majestic, and everybody was starting to do that. But now it looks like I want to kind of feel the jersey now to see, like, is it even better? Like, because I don't think the players are happy with them. The players have said they're not good.
Are you gonna walk into the clubhouse and just walk into somebody's locker, or are you gonna walk up to a player and be like, "Can I touch?"
Yeah, especially when they're totally nude and be like, "Hey, since you don't have your jersey on yet, can I touch your jersey?
Can I touch your jersey?" What if that when they're wearing their jersey, we'd be like, "Can I feel your jersey?" Will they be like, "That's weird, Mike"?
We should ask some of the players. Is this better, worse, the same? Do you care?
That's fair. That part is fair. The rest, I don't know.
What's your problem, dude? We have done a great job of not ticking you off today.
That's true.
I think they're iron on. I believe this. They used to be sewn on numbers and names. I think they're all iron on now.
We're the KNC Masterpiece, and now it's time for Masterpiece of the Week.
Kevin, what's up, guys? Didn't give a crap about your iron on story at all.
We needed to get to this.
Fine.
Happy Friday, guys.
All right. Bring it strong, Chris.
This is Masterpiece of the Week. Shout out Alec, as always, for getting clips from earlier in the week. We do this every Friday at 1:30, and you can watch it back on YouTube every Sunday. Who do we want to pick on first?
Kevin's the wacky guy of the show.
Kevin,
did you say every Sunday you can watch it back on YouTube?
That's what he said.
I don't think I knew that. That's awesome.
Dude, shout out to the Twolos that already watch over there. Kevin, I will pick on you first. This was pretty crazy from Wednesday.
The Coxman. He says, stroke.
That's when you're in a boat or something.
Yeah.
You said that.
You hope.
A rowboat.
Look, because we had a conversation.
Jimmy Graham. Yeah.
You don't have to say it in a motorboat because the motor does it.
Yeah, it's like.
And then what happens?
You pull up and dock somewhere?
Yeah, it just goes where you want. You just have to guide it with your hand.
Or your,
Yeah, you drop your anchor.
Nope. Next one.
I'll mark that too. And Mike, you said some crazy stuff this week. I can't believe you said this one on air.
I've never my car. Like, with wax and everything.
Yeah.
Hold on. Play that one more time.
How'd you do that? I've never my car. Like, with wax and everything.
Yeah.
Corey supports.
I didn't say a cuss word.
I don't know. The version I heard sounds like.
Why would they have bleeped it out if there wasn't a cuss word?
All right, so my leader thus far is Mike.
I found out my guy Ellis Valentine details cars.
That's awesome, Ellis.
So, if I want to do that to a car, Ellis is my guy.
Did you know when I was at the video store, I worked with a person who wanted to know what it would be like if he, let's just say, got romantically entangled with the tailpipe?
Yeah, that guy needs to go to therapy.
It did. He was also like 18, and it just didn't go super well.
Mike, you also invented a new magazine this week.
I don't know. He did a whole National Geography thing on Montana. I got it really close.
You did.
I got it really close.
Me and Ick is close.
Corey, right? I'm swapping over to you here.
Oh. There's a long history of our listeners knowing the street value of drugs.
That's true.
That is a fact.
You should not be embarrassed by that, because when we asked for, y'all asked for opinions about the price of crack,
like,
my God, there were so many responses.
We would be like the episode of Always Sunny in Philadelphia. If three of us were in the car in Surprise, Arizona, and we found a crack dealer, we would have, if they said it's $5 or $5,000, we'd be like, give us the crack. I don't know. I have no clue.
The first thing I'd do is call in to the station, go on air and say, hey, how much is it? And just wait for the fan text
to respond.
You'd
be like, you're jipping me off, man. I got a lot of people here. telling me how much it is.
I don't think you're supposed to say that word anymore.
Oh, sorry. Sorry, I didn't know. I apologize for saying a word I didn't know. Is it a bad word?
I think it's just the way you said
it. Oh.
It's all good, Mike.
We can definitely bleep part of it.
Okay.
It sounds
true. It'll sound even worse.
Okay.
Mike, this is a crazy prompt for the truckwreck.com text line.
All right. We got to go to break. Text in how much crack cost on the street.
And you know what's crazy? Multiple people were like, all right, if we're doing this, I was like, no, no.
We did it,
but
though.
But did people give valid answers?
Oh,
they
did.
Because sure. Were they learned. Similar? We're like, they have to be right. They're all around the same price.
Yeah. Yeah, there were a lot of people that had accurate prices.
Kevin,
I feel pretty confident that if I need to go out there
all
in
right,
the streets.
My next question, people that have smoked crack, can you tell the difference between good crack and bad crack? Like after it's done, are you like, oh man, that wasn't as good. They did something
this
wrong
one has
to
really
it.
Good
it's
a oaky dinky. Flavor.
Yeah,
it's more spicy on the front notes.
Yeah, too much sugar in this one. I don't know.
From the 214, where sugar. Will y'all be set up during your program from spring training and surprise? We're usually up
the hotel
in
room.
The booths.
Yeah, we're up where the radio and TV broadcast would happen.
But if you're going to be out there, let us know because we can definitely like hang out and come see and stuff like that. Back to you.
True.
I'll stick with Mike here. Mike, you know a lot about female anatomy.
They have eggs inside of them. And they have cycles that we don't have, I don't
but
think.
They have-
Man, now I really wanted to know what Corey's follow-up question was because he was on the ball.
They have all their eggs is what
question.
I said. Okay. They have all of them went at birth. That was something
Isn't
that we learned.
That is crazy.
Can you imagine if you carried all of your part, your thing, the...
Okay.
If you had... Because there's millions, right?
And like, no. Not eggs. There's actually a lot less than that. Is when we were doing an egg transfer, I thought it was going to be... I don't know what I thought... But they had like this tiny little tube, like even smaller than a straw. And then they were like putting things in there. I don't know what I thought it was going to be, but it was amazing the precision in which they
I thought
it
they'd be like softball size things. You know,
yeah,
like how did
not.
They carry that in their stomach?
Corey would have accidentally videoed it when he was talking about his wife's birth.
Yeah, it was a video, but it was pictures.
I guess giving birth. You weren't there for your wife's birth. That would have been weird.
That would be weird.
That would be so weird.
Oh my gosh.
Stop.
I'm sure
Stop. Whatever you're going to say, don't say it.
There's a relationship out there somewhere,
it.
Right?
Don't
there's a few relationships out there somewhere.
Probably.
I mean, he was on Friends with Tom Selleck and Monica. He was dad's best friend.
Probably. Hey, if you're at the birth of somebody, don't eventually date that person. That should be a rule.
What if it's love, Kevin? You can't stop love, bro.
Yeah, you can.
Speaking of love, maybe the first lovers were these two right here.
Nice.
Yeah.
Thanks a lot, Adam and Eve. Now I got to push this head through a spot that it is not big enough for.
Yeah, that was the punishment for taking the apple.
Just the fruit. We don't know if it's an
apple. I have some Eve questions.
Give it.
Where is she now?
What?
What's she doing? What's she up to now?
Well, God knows. Uh-huh. We don't know that on Earth.
Like, is she celebrating with everyone? Is she like, what's going on there?
It's a great question. I think it's a valid question.
What's the punishment?
Kevin, my answer would be, we don't know.
Yes. I'll say with
the punishment was, you can't be in this garden anymore. It never said that she couldn't go to heaven.
True.
So,
that's true.
That's true.
I'm just wondering, like, does everybody that shows up at heaven, are they like, oh, there's Eve.
I don't know if you have
Thanks
that.
A lot. That's what you did to my thing down there.
Yeah. I don't know if you're
Everything
cognizant
would be awesome.
Of that guy's here.
Everything
Bull
would be
crap.
Wouldn't that be? It is eternity if you make it to the same place. Is that one of, like, at what point in your number of questions, at what point are you like, where's Adam and Eve?
Yeah, always wanted to see them. They're the originals.
I would. That'd be cool.
Kevin, I'll go back to you. Kevin, you have a journalism degree, right?
Yes.
It's pretty crazy for Corey to ask this question then.
Kevin, I know you're right now, you're dealing with learning to read.
I know how to read. Thank you. I'm glad I knew well enough to answer that question.
No, you're dealing with Noah learning.
Baby Noah, not even close to learning how to read.
One last one to bring it up the rear. I say that every week. Ooh. Here's Mike and Corey.
Big thighs.
Huge thighs, meaty thighs.
He does. He has meaty thighs.
Meaty.
That's that wrestler that stomps when he hits
LA
people.
LA Knight?
Yeah.
Also, I have a bone to pick with this masterpiece of the week. I believe I recall last week you said something that we told you to mark.
Last time I marked something that I said, like, it didn't work well because it was just my voice and then my voice again. So I was like, maybe not this week.
I am going to vote for Mike giving us a breakdown of the Genesis times in Adam and Eve.
Nice. Yeah. Thanks a lot, Adam and Eve. Now I got to push this head through a spot that it is not big enough for.
Corey, what's your pick?
Dude, I forgot to write any down. So I'm going to I'm going to go with Mike going into break about crack.
Ooh, that's a good one. All right, we got to go to break. Text in how much crack cost on the street.
I like that he says on the street too.
Maybe, Chris, maybe you can. Well, I don't think it's at the drugstore. I don't think you can go to CVS.
No, I agree with that.
So, Chris, I'm going to put a little pressure on you.
Okay.
I don't think I've ever teased going to break better than that. Like more concise. Like that was the exact way to tease something.
That had
right there.
Nothing to do with our next topic.
Right. So I'm voting for that because that's unique. I've said a lot of crazy things that might be similar. That one was different.
I'm voting for this one, too, because we actually did send it to break after you said this. So masterpiece of the week winner right here.
All right. We got to go to break. Text in how much crack cost on the street.
So stupid. And then
we just hit commercial.
Ladies
Chris,
and gentlemen.
You deserve a lot of credit
yes,
for that.
Yes, he does. That's right. He
that
did.
Was
he nailed
awesome.
It.
You're Let's good at this go. Job now.
I was like, jump for joy. Coming up next, we will chit-chat with those fellas from the G-Bag Nation right here on 105.3 The Fan.
I met a guy recently who told me that he spends roughly $250,000 a month. I talked to another person recently who made $50 million at the age of 30. What do you do with that money? How do you spend it? How do you not spend it? What do you invest in? If you meet a rich person, these are questions everyone wants to know, but you're too embarrassed to ask. That's the whole premise of MoneyWise. We talk to real people who have made a significant amount of money, and we ask them all about their finances. My name's Sam Parr, and the podcast is called MoneyWise. That's one word, MoneyWise. You can find MoneyWise wherever you get your podcasts.
KNC Masterpiece back here on 105 Through the Fan. We got a lot of great suggestions today for the program. One of them was, can y'all have a full segment each week where you ask funny Bible questions to each other, like when Corey just said, what's Eve up to right now?
Just always kind of wondered, you know, was she letting the club?
And another question or another suggestion that we have a halftime and let people ask us questions about the segments that have already happened or give us suggestions for the rest of the show. And I think that is a great idea.
Where is that, 12:20? You want to do that at 12:20? We do the
12 o'clock
during the rush hour?
Yeah, we could absolutely.
We could get on one of those things where they pay us money after the show to ask us anything or something.
Cameo?
I don't know. People do like my buddy does a New York Knicks post-game show on YouTube, and people pay money to make sure that their thing is on YouTube, and then he answers their question. Other people are asking questions for free, and he doesn't answer them. He waits till somebody gives him like $4, and then he answers the question.
That's awesome.
Right? That's how people make money on post-game shows on YouTube.
That is how the streamers do it,
You sit there, you stare into the screen, you stare into the camera.
And well, you're talking, but if somebody really wants their question answered, they pay money to get it answered.
It's awesome.
Now, the voices and laughter you hear right there is D&M Leasing brings you our chit-chat with those fellas from the G-Bag Nation. Gentlemen, how is you today?
Doing awesome, Heggy. How are you?
I am doing excellent, and I want to start with Wolchuk if we can and see how y'all feel, because he came rolling in here, and what was your Mavericks proclamation?
The Dallas Mavericks will be your Western Conference champions.
Whoa!
Yes, this team is going to win the West if they can stay healthy. I don't see anybody beating them in a 7-game series. That includes Denver. I understand Nikola Jokic is an absolute beast, and he is difficult to handle. But I think the Mavericks have now the depth, the rotational pieces. You don't have to just go ahead and have Kyrie and Luka playing 40 minutes every night. Their weaknesses are now strengths when it comes to rebounding and being able to play defense. Luka is engaged. He's talking about it in postgame, about the defense and how important it is for the team. They come out and do not get off to a good start. They're trying to cut into Phoenix's lead. Eventually, they end up winning that thing handedly in the fourth quarter. Luka goes out of the game with foul trouble. What's Kyrie do? I got this. I'll go score 3 straight times on 3 straight possessions. I mean, to me, I don't see a whole lot of weaknesses on this team. I think they might be the deepest now outside of the Clippers in the Western Conference, and it's all health, right? You have to stay healthy, and that's been an issue for this team. But now, without Derek Lively in the lineup, you're thinking this is an L. You got Gafford. Hell, you don't have to play Dwight Powell ever again. He can be your new victory formation now, Mike. That's when we can see Dwight Powell. You're up by 20 points in the fourth quarter. Send him out there. I am very, very stoked about our Dallas Mavericks, and I think they're looking like they're going to the NBA Finals so they can stay healthy.
Gavin knows this because of Red Arbaugh. The guy who comes off the bench when the game's over is the human cigar.
Yeah.
So we have now turned, he's great. He's a great teammate. He'll work hard in practice. He'll cheer on the team. But now we've turned Dwight Powell into the role he should be, the human cigar.
And I wanted to throw this out there about Jokic. I totally am on board with all of those points. Did you see last night, 21 points, 19 rebounds, 15 assists, and 10 for 10 from the field? Is he joins Westbrook and LeBron as the only players to record a triple-double against every team they've ever played. And I think that's advantage Denver. They will have the best player on the court and when that series comes to pass. However, when you're talking about the health and the depth, clearly health is something that Denver struggles with as well, is I'm intrigued by your point. Eric, Dawson, where do you guys fall with that?
Well, okay, so I think Denver established itself last year as pretty dang good, but I don't know if they played a team last year as good as what the Mavs will be this year, at least until they got to the finals. So I do like a lot of what Wolchuk said. I would hesitate still to pick them to get over on Denver. Although Kyrie Irving's championship experience and Luka maybe being the most unguardable player in the league right now is, you know, making me think like, yeah, but, you know, still at the same time, I could see them losing a series to Minnesota, OKC, and probably the Clippers as well. So, you know, I see
that
them,
it is that the list, though?
I think so.
Okay.
You know, and I see the Mavs in a group of teams trying to challenge Denver, and maybe they have the best chance of beating the Nuggets at this point.
Yeah, they got the recipe. I think this is very, very exciting coming down the stretch. This is going to be a ton of fun. I don't know that I'm willing to go balls to the wall like Wolchuk just did, putting them in the finals today, but I think they are one of four or five teams in the West that legitimately have that. And so I'm very excited about where this thing is headed right now.
And if it all plays out like that or anything near like that, props to Nico and the organization for moves that I remember vividly. We were excited, but there were lots of people going, who the hell are these jabronis? And you're like, they fit very well with this team. You just wait and see. What do you guys got coming up on the program today?
Pure Gold, as always, we are going to have Tim Cato of The Athletic on at 4 o'clock for his thoughts on where the Mavs now sit in the pecking order. I'm going to get a championship wager in online here before we go any further. I'll tell you that much because I like where the odds sit right now.
My take was I should have bet on Luka for MVP when we were in Vegas, but I didn't know that we are getting PJ Washington and Daniel Gafford, but I think he has a good chance now to win the MVP at the end of the year.
Yeah.
He's third in the betting odds, and he's moving up.
So. I think he was fifth when we were at the Super Bowl. Wow.
We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Roll home with the G-Bag Nation. Come back with us on Monday. Both of our shows will be live from Surprise for Texas Rangers spring training right here on 105.3 The Fan.
Say goodbye to the studio, Kevin.
Goodbye, studio.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I met a guy recently who told me that he spends roughly $250,000 a month. I talked to another person recently who made $50 million at the age of 30. What do you do with that money? How do you spend it? How do you not spend it? What do you invest in? If you meet a rich person, these are questions everyone wants to know, but you're too embarrassed to ask. That's the whole premise of MoneyWise. We talk to real people who have made a significant amount of money, and we ask them all about their finances. My name's Sam Parr, and the podcast is called MoneyWise. That's one word, MoneyWise. You can find MoneyWise wherever you get your podcasts.